As we've previously talked about in our course, not all dogs experience stress in the same way. How sensitive or resilient your dog is will determine how quickly and easily they recover from a stressful event. Trauma, or post-traumatic stress disorder, is something we can often link to people who have been in war zones or horrendously injured, but actually any deep stressful event can have a lasting negative effect on how the brain processes and functions in our pet dogs. In our dog's physical body, emotions are handled in the same way as physical stress. A useful way to understand the effects of an emotional injury can be to break them down into four types of physical metaphors: bruises, wounds, injuries, and damage. Bruises heal on their own and don't require any treatment. Wounds sometimes heal on their own but may require some form of treatment. Injuries might require intense treatment and a longer healing time, and damage might be impossible to completely undo without leaving a lasting scar or perhaps permanent loss of mobility or function. Many cases of canine PTSD can not only be treated, but given enough time and the correct methods, they can make significant recoveries. All that's needed is an understanding of how stress affects the dog's body and how certain techniques can begin to dissipate that locked up emotional energy and begin healing PTSD. Many things can cause trauma in our pet dogs, from the fairly obvious physical abuse or attacks from other dogs, to serious illnesses, prolonged isolation, a car accident, an overbearing housemate, a bad trainer. Prolonged exposure to a stressful situation is what causes the problem, not necessarily exposure to violence or physical injury. Dogs that are more sensitive and have a highly tuned stress response can be deeply affected by these stressful events. Symptoms of trauma can mimic other behavioural illnesses and can be difficult to isolate and diagnose, but may include anything from an explosive overreaction to a trigger or event, such as barking, lunging and biting, or even hiding, shaking and extreme avoidance, and all the way down to total catatonic shutdown and helplessness. Typically accompanying this, there is little ability for any impulse control and an inability to follow cues or learn or retain any new information. PTSD is characterized by three main symptoms: re-experiencing the trauma through intrusive, distressing recollections of events, flashbacks, and nightmares; emotional numbness and avoidance of places, people, or activities that remind them of the trauma; and increased arousal, such as difficulty sleeping, concentrating, feeling jumpy, and being easily irritated or angered. And these symptoms should be in place for over a month. It's important to try and really sum up and remember what the PTSD sufferer is actually experiencing. And they're having recurrent, involuntary, and intrusive, distressing memories of the traumatic event, which may or may not be obvious to the onlooker. They're having a dissociative reaction in which the individual feels or acts as if the traumatic event is reoccurring again in the here and now. They have intense or prolonged psychological distress at exposure to anything which may symbolize or resemble any aspect of the trauma. It may present in a number of ways. There may be significant impairment to normal functioning, persistent avoidance of triggers associated with the trauma, or external reminders such as people, places, noises, activities, objects, certain situations. Physiological reactions to reminders of the traumatic event in which the sufferer might reenact the actual behavior. They might be irritable or aggressive. They might have an inability to experience positive emotions or engage in previously enjoyed activities. They may be detached or estranged from familiar dogs or people, or participate in reckless or self-destructive behavior. They may be hypervigilant, have an exaggerated startle response, have difficulty falling or staying asleep, or being generally restless and have problems with concentration and memory. So let's take a look at what's actually going on in the body and brain of dogs who are experiencing trauma. Each time the dog is exposed to their triggers, their body's stress response is activated and a cascade of hormones and neurochemicals are released in response to this perceived danger. This physiological response is designed to keep the body safe in a life-threatening situation. but it can be relived again and again and again and again throughout the dog's lifetime, even in situations that aren't dangerous anymore. Glucocorticoids are released during this stress-related experience, which causes an increase in glutamate, an amino acid that plays a key role in facilitating long-term connections between neurons that are vital to learning and memory. Your dog's amygdala, hypothalamus, and hippocampus are all involved in their fearful response. But they're normally capable of being inhibited to some degree by the impulse control center in the prefrontal cortex. But with PTSD sufferers, this system isn't overridden, and it creates a kind of feedback loop, blocking the higher parts of brain from exerting any impulse control, whilst decreasing the normal working memory function. This is why it's not only difficult to keep a dog who suffers from PTSD from overreacting to certain triggers, but it can also be so difficult to teach them any new behaviours, because their brain is literally wired for surviving, not learning new behaviours. The dog's ability to control his behaviour is reduced dramatically, and he's classified as a reactive dog, or an out-of-control dog, or a hypervigilant dog, or a fearful dog. It's not your fault, and it's not your dog's fault. It is this damage to the neurocircuitry which makes PTSD one of the most difficult physiological illnesses to treat. There are two notable figures in the canine PTSD world. The first is Dr. Walter F. Burghardt, Chief of Behavioral Medicine at the Daniel E. Holland Military Working Dog Hospital. And the second is Dr. Nicholas H. Dodman, the Director of Animal Behavior Clinic at the Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine at Tufts University. He has written about and treated dogs with PTSD-like symptoms for years. When asked if it could be cured, Dr. Dodman said, "Probably not. It's more lifetime management. Dogs never forget." But what if he's wrong? What if more dogs can be helped and we're just using the wrong techniques? Perhaps because Burghardt conducted most of his consultations virtually, he lost touch with the dog as a living, breathing, emotional being. You see, many behavioural practitioners disagree with Dodman and Burghardt, and they think that PTSD can be cured. Over the years, I've learned that science can be a wonderful tool. When taken in the appropriate context, it can skyrocket your training ability. However, those of us that are working with PTSD on a daily basis have many anecdotal stories, not necessarily scientifically supported, but that we know works to help PTSD. In people, we have some very successful rehabilitation programs for PTSD sufferers. Playing violent virtual reality video games, puzzles involving maths and logic, such as the video game Tetris, as well as unique treatment called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and of course, supportive medication. In PTSD human subjects, treatment can seriously reduce the frequency of flashbacks and in some cases cure PTSD altogether. Now, obviously, most of these treatment options are not available in our canine counterparts, leaving us with only one supportive option for canine PTSD at our disposal, which is medication. And not everybody wants to medicate their dogs, and it obviously comes with some side effects. There is, however, a treatment plan involving confidence and resilience training, specialised play, which has proven in my experience to be very successful in the rehabilitation of PTSD in dogs. Play is the most unconscious process of pattern recognition, a process that also tends to release dopamine, one of the brain's feel-good chemicals. The more complicated the game, up to a point, the more dopamine is released and the better it feels to play. Generally speaking, the more playful a dog becomes, the more resilient and adaptable he becomes as well. Play therapy is brilliant for raising confidence in the fearful or anxious dog, and in building resilience, even if they're not suffering with PTSD. It allows a dissipation of the stress stored in the body to begin being released, and we'll begin covering how to teach these later in the course. The dog needs to feel like they can do something about the scary event and the emotional swell which accompanies it. If you have a dog suffering from trauma, here is my training plan to begin helping them heal. Understanding the seven principles of rehabilitation. Number one, your dog determines what is traumatizing, not you. Now, this might seem like a really simple one, but it's amazing how many people come into my consultation room and they feel that they've decided what their dog's like and doesn't like. It's quite important that we get quite scientific in our observation of what our dogs find aversive. They get to choose, not us. Know what they are and make notes of them. Number two, you've always got to have a safe place. Now, for some dogs, that might mean retreating away from the thing that's frightening them. And for others, it might mean having a hidey hole. Again, that depends on the dog that we're dealing with and what they need to feel safe. Number three, give your dog choices. One of the fastest ways to traumatize any mammal is to take away all of his or her choices. Manufacture opportunities for your dog to make a choice about his or her own environment, schedule, and care as much as possible. Whether you let your dog decide which way to turn at the end of the block, wait for your dog to offer a foot for a nail trimming, play with nose work, or give your dog several different beds to choose to sleep on, choice is hugely important. Set up your dog to make good choices and then reward those choices to begin building their confidence. Number four, please remember that your dog is not his story. If your dog has a history of trauma, it's important to be aware of that past, but it's equally important to help your dog succeed in the present to let that go. Too often we get caught up in the stories we tell ourselves about our dog's past and forget to pay attention to the animal that's in front of us today. While trauma can have lasting consequences due to its huge impact on the way brain develops and processes information, patient behavioral modification and an environment of safety can have equally powerful effects. See your dog for who he is in the moment rather than who you expect him to be. He may surprise you. Number five, trauma ABC. Freud had a concept of repressed or unresolved emotion being trapped inside the body. He said, unexpressed emotions will never die. They are buried alive and will come forth later in uglier ways. Following on from this research, trauma transference syndrome is a human condition first recognized by Mal Wiraranti, an internationally recognized healer qualified in tantric healing and emotional release through bodywork. He infers that there is virtually no difference between physical and emotional injury, according to the body's need to heal it. Our bodies can make sense of a physical injury and focus efforts into healing the obvious physical trauma. But psychological trauma also needs healing, but being unseen, it's often left unresolved. He says that a traumatic experience impacts on an entire person. The way we think, the way we learn, the way we remember things, the way we feel about ourselves, the way we feel about other people, the way we make sense of the world are all profoundly altered by traumatic experiences, which is why it's so important that trauma and the resulting emotions are dealt with and that a victim of trauma is helped to process the experience. If trauma is not processed, the powerful images, feelings, and sensations do not just go away. Instead, they are deeply imprinted and stored in the body's cellular memory. B. In order for trauma to be healed, we have to recreate a stress response at a high level of intensity, similar to that of the precipitating event. Ethically challenging indeed, which is why play and activating the predatory hunt sequence is so important, because it's very ethically difficult for any trainer to be recreating a highly stressful event for our dogs. And C, lastly, there needs to be a full release of all the unresolved energy. It must be released and purged, a system known as catharsis. When an emotion can't flow to completion, stress is acquired and accumulated and stays inside the body. Let's take a look at a real-life example of this. Wild animals don't suffer from PTSD, and yet nature delivers some cruel and stressful events. If we take, for example, a gazelle who has been chased and caught by a cheetah, a hell of an emotional journey. They're likely to have experienced extreme adrenaline and fear as they ran away, the terror of being caught, the helplessness and shutdown which happens when fight or flight are no longer an option. And the body is beginning to prepare them with the inevitable pain of being killed and eaten that's about to follow. Now, if this gazelle suddenly gets an opportunity to get away, they bolt for their life, running as hard and as fast as possible. You can often see little clips on YouTube and things of this, and it's fascinating to watch if you can get over the initial, oh my goodness, what's happening? They have a huge intensity of emotion experiencing that being caught and being able to run away, a massive intensity of explosive emotion. And that allows the trauma of the event to come full circle. All of that energy is dissipated in the desperation to run away. They run hard, they run fast, and they give it everything they've got. And that allows the gazelle's body to understand and dissipate the extremes of the stress experienced during the event. Wild animals don't suffer from PTSD. Number 6 is practical play therapy. Play is a vital component of healing canine PTSD. It's also important to remember that in these fragile cases, the dog's fear circuits are capable of being overridden by his pleasure circuits in a heartbeat. So play therapy needs to be very carefully executed with a professional. There are 6 techniques that I use in play therapy. Pushing for food, barking on cue, allowing your dog to carry something in their mouth or a pacifier to hold. Deep tissue massage doesn't really come under the play bracket, but it does come under the physical, different physical treatments and things that we're going to teach our dog to make them feel more comfortable. So I'm putting that in here as well. Gathering a weight shift, which is helping your dog to get all of their legs and all of their weight underneath them ready to push forward. And of course, tug of war. And again, I'm just going to reiterate that knowing how and when to use each one of these things are very complicated and very specific to the individual involved. PTSD is extremely personal and very relevant to the individual and relevant to the traumatic event that was experienced. And the treatment plan needs to be just as specific to the individual dogs that we're dealing with. And lastly, number 7 in our 7 steps to rehabilitating trauma is puzzles. According to Yerrick's Dodson's Law, a little stress can be a good thing, but only up to a point. In the arousal section, we looked at the parabolic curve of using arousal in training. You can find that in my Understanding Your Dog's course. There is a little section on arousal in there. It's really important that you know that and you've seen that video about just how much arousal is needed to perform a task well without being so low that you've got no motivation and without being so high that they're no longer in a think or learn zone. At very low arousal, dogs are lethargic and perform badly, and as arousal increases, you get optimum performance up to a point, and then you get too much arousal, which decreases performance once again. A task that isn't demanding or challenging enough can make it hard for a dog to stay engaged. But when the pressure becomes too much to handle, their performance is likely to suffer once again. Once trauma is understood and is being worked through, setting small, achievable challenges is a really great way to continue your hard work. Hopefully this has given you a sort of broad look, really, is what I wanted to do, at how we work through our PTSD cases here at Epic Dog. Those are very, very changeable. Everything is very changeable all of the time when we're dealing with behavior, because there is no cut and paste method. There's no step-by-step method to achieving anything really with any dog ever. You've got to inject what they need when they need it, which is why it's really, really important to work with a professional. If you do feel like your dog is suffering from trauma and you'd like to look at some techniques on getting them on the road to recovery, please don't hesitate to let us know. Happy training, guys. Lots of love. Bye-bye.